Now the Lord certainly has spoken to me. You know, I think I probably told you last time I was here that the first time I ever heard anyone ask a congregation to do that was at the Leighton Ford Reach Out at North Sydney a few years ago. And at the beginning of every message, he asked the whole vast company of people in that huge tent that we had at St Ives Showgrounds to pray audibly together, "Lord, speak to me." And I found it a tremendously challenging thing. I'd been involved in the organisation. You know what it's like. You're sort of so busy thinking about the million things and the people that you wished had come. And I do hope she's listening and, yes, good, he's here. And don't let him fall asleep, Lord. And all the things that you've had to do before you got there. But sometimes by the end of things, you think it's all over and you think, oh, yeah. Somehow or other, it just seemed to slip past me, the whole thing. And there was no moment when God spoke to me. And so I found that a very good thing, to stop at the beginning of a message and remember that it is His word, and to just put other things aside and let Him speak. Something else that Leighton Ford did that I shall also never forget. At the end of his message, and of course he gave an evangelistic message and challenged people to commitment to Jesus and to rededicate their lives to him if they had fallen away or God had spoken to them about something, he always made this statement: a message isn't over when the speakers finish speaking. The end of a message is our response to what God has said. Isn't that good? So, my dear sisters, it's now up to you and I to summarise Philippians, what we've learned this weekend, what God has spoken to us in our very lives. I read once, you know, that the Pharisees weren't really victims of error at all. In fact, they lived meticulous lives. But they didn't really experience the truth they knew. And as we have said this weekend, we can know so much that we've never appropriated. And what comes into our minds and what touches our hearts has to filter right down and affect our feet. At a scripture class this last week, we've changed the way we do it in Mossman High, and so I had just about 6 or 8 year 10 kids, and we were bouncing things around, and one of them miraculously admitted he was a Christian. I mean, that is miraculous in a scripture class at school, isn't it? And and we talked, and one of his friends was there, and he'd gone to church with him sometimes. And I said to him, "Have you come to that place of putty?" He said, "Oh, no, not yet. I'm weighing it up." I said, "Yes, we know, don't we, that it's our intellect and our emotions, but then the crunch is our will." And the Christian kid said, "I do have problems with my will sometimes, miss." But yes, that's the truth, isn't it? And so our problem now in concluding is, what are we going to do? You know, real learning is change. I remember learning that little ditty years ago. Telling isn't necessarily teaching and listening isn't necessarily learning. And it's true, isn't it? What we really learn changes us. It becomes woven into the fabric of what we are. We noted, didn't we, that the man is the message. The woman is the message. And as we've read through this book, I know one of the things that has happened to me this time as I've studied Philippians afresh is that Paul has stepped out of the pages and challenged me as a man of God in his own life in a new way. I've just had feel as though I know Paul a lot better than I did before and been thereby challenged. Because if we do want to summarise this book in some way, we'd have to say that Paul is saying, first of all, look at Jesus and look at me and live, isn't it? There's that magnificent passage in chapter 2, "Have this same mind in you as it was in Christ Jesus." And we have this very powerful description put before us of what Jesus did in becoming a man and becoming sin for us and dying your death and dying my death, paying the penalty for the sin of the whole world and being risen from the dead. And we have that picture of Jesus, that willingness to forget himself, to humble himself, and out of love doing all of those things for us. And then we have that incredible challenge that we had this morning of Paul's own testimony, saying, look, the things that I had confidence in, they're just nothing. All that matters is that I might know him. And his testimony of how he'd come to that place of being willing to die with Christ, so that he was like a dead person. It's not me living anymore, but it's Jesus living in me. And then the book finishes with that challenge to, okay, do it. Look at me. Look at Jesus. Look at my life and my commitment. I mean, he bears his soul to us, doesn't he? His innermost soul. He says, now, okay, what you see in me, do. And I guess in just a few words, that would be how I would sum up this book. And in the challenge that it has been to my own heart. God has spoken to us about many things that weigh us down, haven't we? We've joked about being Weight Watchers this weekend. And as I thought about that, I thought the writer to the Hebrews really said the same sort of thing as Paul said throughout this book, didn't he? Do you remember those first two verses in chapter 12? Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. And that really says again, doesn't it, what Paul has said to us. Has God spoken to you about an encumbrance, a weight that hinders you? Have you done anything about it? It was a good question Jesus asked by that man by the pool of Bethesda, wasn't it? That man that had been there for 37 years, all bent up and paralyzed. And he said to him, do you want to be well? My dear sisters, do you want to be free? Do you want to weigh less? Or do you like having that thing around so much that you're scared and you're so used to it that you're scared to let it go? That's the way it is sometimes, isn't it? It's been there so long, you think, I don't know, what it'd be like not to have this excuse anymore. Not to have this thing. Sometimes it's a sin that we just really enjoy. We can have as much victory as we really want. Do you want to be well? I believe that the way to really end this time together is to do business with God. I tell you, just like that, the devil will have snatched away the word and it'll have gone. The things that you mean to do when you get home, it's unlikely that you will do them. Talking about walking home and finding things, I'll never forget once. I'd been away for 2-3 weeks with CWCI, I think, and my husband came and picked me up at the airport, and he walked in the door ahead of me and put the bag down. I had my briefcase and my handbag over my arm. I'd been away for about 3 weeks. He walked past me into the family room, sat down in front of the television and said, what's for dinner? And I stood there and I said, well, I could throw a fit, but I'd still have to get dinner. So what's the point? Right? So I put down my handbag and thought, now where is the fridge? And opened it to find out whatever. I tell you, I could write a cookbook on what to do in 2 seconds flat. You know, darling, I'm okay if I bring half a dozen people home for dinner. You know, that's about 5 minutes before he walks in the door. And, so I know what that's like. You see, what we think we'll have time to do when we get home. I tell you, this time next year, when you're sitting in the house party, you'll be saying, "Goodness, that sounds familiar. Lord, you said that to me last year." Do you ever keep a notebook of the things the Lord speaks to you about? It's a horrifying thing to do. I've got one that goes back, you know, years and years, and sometimes I open it and it's horrifying to see that the Lord's been trying to teach me the same things for some 30-odd years, it seems. My dear sisters, do we want to be well? Do we want to be like Jesus? Do we want to know the secret of joy in the midst of the most unbelievable circumstances? Do we really want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings? Do we really want to be conformed to His death? Do we want to be so free of ourselves that Jesus can trust us to glorify His name through us? Then let's do business. Let's lay aside every encumbrance, even that pet one. Even that anger for someone that hurt you so long ago. Even that resentment and bitterness. That unforgiving spirit. That playing around with sin in our minds and also in other ways in actions as well. Let's get rid of the sin that easily entangles us. Let allow Jesus to be the perfecter of our faith. You know that old thing about the handle still being on only the inside of the door? It's true all the way, isn't it? He is a gentleman. He has given us a free will. Sometimes he knocks very loudly, but in the end, it's up to us. Faith is God. You said it. I believe it. I will act upon it. So, now. Dare we ask God, even in this minute, to show us what is hindering in our lives? Ask God for the courage to be honest before Him. Ask Him for the courage to act upon what He has shown you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He is able to break every chain. He came to set the captives free, didn't He? Remember, a bruised reed He won't break. He won't destroy you. He only wants to free you. So let's just spend these last few moments before Him. I haven't asked you for your summary, have you? I haven't let you get a word in edgeways. Let's just spend a few moments before Him and ask Him to search our hearts and to identify clearly if there is anything that we need to be freed from and confess it as sin. Choose to turn from it. Say, "Lord, by faith I take hold of that crucifying power of the cross and I reckon myself dead to this thing. And I yield myself to You. Fill me with Yourself. I give myself to You. Come and live Your life in me. Be my life. I want to be able to say, for me to live is Christ."